Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're in program 308 today, and always, every message we have, how to have God's life living in you. And not only in you, but through you. We have a strong message, very strong message today, this evening, this morning, whenever it is that you're listening to this broadcast. And we also have testimonials from outside. We get them from all over the world. And we have some singing, some music for you. And right now, though, let's go to the throne of the living God and ask him to anoint this service. Father, anoint this service as you. And I pray that you'll always do that every time I call upon you. You are my boss. And you want everyone to listen to you. Not for your sake, but for their sake, that they can enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, there's only to be one body. And I remember when I was in the Navy, Father, when we had the number one company, Company 869, and I know that different officials in the government have checked to see if I'm telling the truth about this, but I'm not a liar. I was in the number one company in 869 at USNTC, San Diego, United States Naval Training Center. And we went through boot camp with flying colors. We were the only company that received a meatball flag in 70 years. Meatball means 4-0, perfect. And this is the way that you want your company to be, your body. All of us have to be perfect in our marching. We have to be perfect in our conduct. We have to be perfect in the way of you, the things that you've commanded us to do. And you, just like our chief Secor, you're more strict than he was. You're a good God, and so was he a good man. But he was very strict. If any of us even made a mistake, we were sent to 909 Baker, which is what they called the Nut Company. And the scar of that would follow us throughout our lifetime, and we'd be court-martialed, and we would never, this reputation of being court-martialed with a dishonorable discharge would have followed whoever gets put out of that company for the rest of our lives. But as it was, the first 3 weeks that we were there, we were a company that was very disobedient, and I believe we were about 120 strong, or more, maybe 130, and we wound up to where there was only 60 of us because Chief Secor sent them all to the Nut Company that wouldn't march correctly, that wouldn't care about their cleanliness. Camp Elliott, it was extremely dusty, and it was hard to keep our shoes without having dust for inspection in the morning, having dust on them. And then also when we displayed the inside of our white Navy hats, and the top, the ring of the collar, we'd have to take a thumb and pull it out so that the inspecting officers could see whether there was any dirt around our collar of the white T-shirt and the hat from the sweat out in the hot desert. And then we had to know the Blue Jackets manual and to have our sea bag proper. And when we'd hang our clothes up, in the Navy, we didn't use clothespins, we used knots, and they had to be at 45-degree angles, and just one thing after the other. And the 60 of us, 60 or 70, wound up to where we were the best naval company that ever went through boot camp in 70 years. And that's I can relate to that now as to how we were one body. No one marched wrong. No one dressed wrong. No one, if somebody was at Chow Hall, they allow three people to come back to watch the barracks for inspection, because every morning the barracks were inspected by other chief petty officers because they couldn't believe that there was such a thing as a 4-0 meatball company. And if they got a little egg on them or something, oatmeal spilled on them, they'd go back, three of them. The rest of us had to go to inspection. And if Chief Secor was that meticulous and that demanding of his troops, to where we all marched the same way, we did everything the same way. We were one spirit, one company, one meatball company, one perfect company according to naval standards. Then how much more you, Lord, when we stand before you, if there's any imperfections in us, if there's one spot or one blemish, will we not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven? We pray, Lord, that we're reading from Ephesians today. We pray that you'll open the minds, the hearts, and the souls of the spirits of everyone to receive how important it is to be perfect and to shut the mouths of the false prophecies, phony TV evangelists that say no one is perfect, who can be perfect, and so on, because you say, not the devil through their mouths, but you say, without holiness, no man shall see God. And he says, be ye perfect. It's an absolute must. You never command people to do anything that we can't do. If you say, be holy, for I am holy, be perfect, for the Lord is a perfect God. And heaven is a place of perfection. And there's no way, Father, that we can enter into the kingdom of heaven without being perfect. And so therefore we pray, Lord, that this, the significance of this, in this corrupt, evil, wicked world, that people will start honing up, begin shaping themselves up as a company of people that will be worthy to walk through the gates in the kingdom of heaven. Such false doctrine all the time that they're going to meet Peter at the pearly gates. That is just Catholic false doctrine. He was given the key into the kingdom of heaven for his belief that Jesus is the truth, that he was the Messiah and is the Messiah and is God himself. And also everyone that believes that is given the key to the kingdom of heaven. That doesn't mean that we're going to meet everyone there and invite them in. It's going to be the Lord that's going to meet us at the gate. Hallelujah. Lord, we pray that people that are into false doctrine, that they're going to begin to strive for perfection, because perfection takes striving. I know that when we were at Camp Elliott, I was taken into the captain's office because I was one of the most rebellious ones at Camp Elliott. We had to spend 3 weeks there. We left USNTC and went to Camp Elliott, where it's dusty and hot. And we spent the 3 weeks there, and everybody was kind of like misfits. And I almost got thrown out, but the chief Secor took me into the captain. And the captain told me that, son, you know, if you get a dishonorable discharge, if we have to put you out of the Navy, then this is a scar on your record that's going to follow you throughout the rest of your life. You may want to be somebody in your life. You may want to become a president of the United States. You may want to be a senator. You may, of course, I had no intentions of being these things, Father. But you may want to have a business. And if people check your background and see that you were dishonorably discharged from the Navy, from the armed forces, they would look narrowly upon you and not want to do business with you. And so I was so glad that that captain told me these things, because my own dad and father didn't sit down and tell me things so profound as that. It was wonderful to hear some direction in this world. At that time, I was only 16 years old. I told him I was 18 years old when I was only 16, and there were no computers in those days, so there was no way that they could check, and they didn't pay that much attention to ID or anything then. And they didn't even require birth certificates. And so I got in. A friend of mine and I went together, and he was 18 or 19. I enlisted. I wanted to get the military over with, as you know, Father. And I'm so glad that I went there, and I had to learn discipline. We were crawling. We had to crawl in boot camp under a machine gun fire. They had Thompson 45 caliber machine guns, submachine guns, and they were 18 inches. The bullets were flying over, so we had to crawl on our bellies. If we rose up, they said, you'll be dead. And so there is a lot of seriousness to this life that we're living. And there's even, it's extremely serious when we stand before you, Father, at the judgment bar. You say, if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. And therefore, Lord, I don't want there to be one spot or blemish on me in this world while I'm living here. We were the only company in boot camp that got the meatball flag, which means it was a big black flag with a big red meatball in the middle of it, which means 4-0. That means perfect. A 4-0 company. And that was one of the proudest things I've been proud of in my whole life, that at 16 years old, I made it. I was a meatball sailor, a person that really was a 4-0 sailor. Perfect. And I know that if I could do it in the Navy, how much more is it important to be one body, one spirit, one God, one body, one heaven. There's only one heaven, and there's only one hell. There's just no two different places to go. There's people that say there's a third heaven. Paul, when he was saying that, Father, he meant that I knew a man once, whether he was in the body or out, in other words, whether he was in the body of Christ or not, I know not. In other words, he was being facetious. He knew that that man was a heretic who said that he was in the third heaven. That's baloney. There's one New Jerusalem. There's one bride of Christ. There's one Christ. There's one God. And we are the body and he's the head. And we must be perfect in order to be in his body. If we were marching on the grinder, Father, and I know you know all these things, but I'm saying it for the benefit of the people that are listening to me, and one of us, we're all marching in one accord right before the admirals and the brass in the Navy, standing on the podium to the music, the marching music, and one of us started heading the different direction, and a bunch of other ones started turning around, stepping on other people's feet, or if they dropped their piece, their M1, they would have been discharged from the Navy for sure. I mean, it was so tight back then. I know a lot of people that are in the Navy today, Father, that say they're not that strict anymore, but I love strictness. I've been in many situations to where I had to be extremely disciplined in this world. As you know, Father, I was railroaded into prison on false charges. Railroaded. For IRS, of all things. We paid more taxes than anybody that I know of. And, Lord, I learned discipline there, though. And I was glad that I went through the Navy because I was already used to it. And I was in another institution. It was called the State Industrial School for Boys in Miles City, Montana. I was there for running away from home. And people said that I didn't have to go. But my dad wisely said that I think it's the best thing for him to go there. And there I worked like a horse. As a matter of fact, we pulled plows and held plows down for a whole mile. One person pulling a plow, tried to do the people out there in the listening audience in Radio Land, try that sometime. And we pulled up plants as big as trees out in the, where we were cultivating land to use to grow crops. And I was there and I learned discipline there. And I learned to be a good soldier. And in the scriptures, I know that you're not a kidder. You're not kidding around, Father. And we must be perfect. Not one spot or one blemish can be on our souls if we're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that in order for us to go through this life with your blessing, in order for us to go through this life with your mercy, in order for us to go through this life with your wisdom, in order for us to go through this life with your understanding and knowledge, we have to fear your word to do it in order to be 4-0. Because we're living in a wicked world. We're like lambs among wolves, you said. And if we do fear the commandment to do them, then you will be our protector, our defender. You'll be our God, our healer. And all, you'll be with us when we pray for people, and we'll be able to, by your power living in us, because we keep your commandments, to cast devils out of people, to lay hands on the sick and afflicted, and they shall be healed. So there's a great amount of importance to being perfect, that we may be able to have all these signs follow us, those of us that believe. We can raise the dead. Not us, but because of our perfection and you in us, the Father will listen to you and ourselves and me when I pray for someone to do what it is that I am asking you to do. This is the reason for being perfect. How will signs follow anyone if they don't believe, if they're not perfect in their belief, in their faith? It's impossible for people to be blessed by you if they're not perfect. Even the unjust receive certain blessings, like they can breathe. They can eat some of them, most of them, and sleep. You give us all food, except those that are so terribly wrong, like the Muslims who are in these African countries, in India, and different religions. And some people say it's wrong to attack different religions. The Bible does that. Jesus does. And so in order for us to be perfect, we have to let people know what religions are false and which are true. Otherwise, we are really getting a big blot on our souls, and there'll be no way for us to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so therefore, Lord, I allow you to tell the world the things that are wrong in this world so that they can be righted by our obedience to the faith. It isn't something that just happens. We have to make ourselves. We have to make ourselves to be disciplined. We have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined. We have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined. We have to discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. If we want to be perfect, we will be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, and we will not be disciplined by our flesh. Because the flesh profits nothing, you said. And what point is there to live in this world according to our flesh, when our flesh is deteriorating every day? When our flesh is going to rot away and become dust. When we die, it doesn't take long for it to turn into dust, Father. You've fixed us that way. Your intentions were that we live forever. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed, would not keep the commandment, do not eat from that tree, for in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's the day that eventually you're going to die. You could have lived forever in your posterity. You're the ones that are going to come after you, because you're the mother and father of all flesh. The mother of all flesh, Eve. But because you did not listen to me, that's the biggest no-no in the world, is to not listen to God, to shine him on, to act as though you know something more than what God says. God, your creator, God, the one that has made a path, that's a straight and narrow path for you to walk in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, so many people in this world are walking waywardly. They're taking the example of these anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-human rights films that Hollywood, in order to make a buck, are making. I know so many producers and directors in this world, and they just say, look, Tony, we can't make any money making films about cookies and milk. I said, well, yeah, I know, but there's other things to do films about other than cookies and milk. Everything isn't sex. You'd think that people would get sick and tired of this sex and violence that's in the films today. Because by looking at something, your brain is absorbing it and you are becoming what you're listening to. That's why the Lord, you said, take heed how you hear and what you hear. Because you are what you eat and you are what you hear and look at. You showed me that vision, Father, of watching that this old man being taken into this room where there was a light bulb hanging on the end of a wire. And there was an old cot in that room and a very thin mattress, like mattresses that you see in old jails. And this nurse, with a very friendly smile, was smiling at me through the vision. And this old man, his head was down, his hair was very white, and he was bent over, stooped over, very skinny, had a tank top on, and gray flannel type sweatpants, very skinny, and was walking so slow. And it was fascinating to me to see this very young and charming looking nurse. She had a nurse's hat on and a white uniform leading him in, and she was smiling. And you couldn't see his face because it was down. Then she took him over to the old cot with this very thin mattress. The cot had been it's one of these rounded off ones that's made out of iron. And there was some chips off of it. It was painted white, but you could see the black iron wherever the chip was. And all of a sudden, I just was kept looking at this thing. And then he looked up with his eyes right into mine, and beams came out, very strong beams. And he went, and the beams were pulling me into him. That was the very devil himself. And it was pulling me, and I could feel the vibrations of these eyes. Which was the Lord, you are showing me, don't look at the devil. Don't look at the demonic things in this world, because you become what you see. And then I started going around and round into a spiral, down and down. And I could see my body all spread eagle. My arms were out and my legs were out. And it was like a silhouette of me going down and down into a spiral. And while I was going down, I could see martini glasses, Manhattan glasses, wine glasses, people smiling and sinning. Every vile sin on the face of this earth was from looking. If I would look at sinfulness and enjoy it. And I just kept going down and down. And I remembered, that was when I was first, a little after I was saved, and I remember after I was married to Sue also, and I remembered her saying, say that whenever the devil's there, say the blood of Jesus is against you and he will depart from you. So when I was going down into this bottomless spiral, down I believed it was going down into the bottomless pit, I said, the blood of Jesus is against you, and the whole vision went away. And Lord, this is to warn the people of this world, stop looking at violence. Stop looking at all this perverted sex. And get their eyes on you, because whoever they put their eyes on is the one that they're going to become like. If we become, like we're looking at the devil, and the devil has all these different temptations, that we're living in the hour of temptation. And the Lord, you said that you would keep us from the hour of temptation if we would keep our eyes on you. And you are the Word, on the Word of God, and in prayer always. Lord, let this message enter the minds and the spirits of every listening person, in the hearts. Let it enter into the heart and the soul, the mind, so that they will be able to make it through this hour of temptation without having to be taken into the bottomless pit. Satan is everywhere. And it's easy to see him, and so in order to not to see him, we have to keep our eyes on the Word of God, on you, Jesus. Father God, I ask that everyone receives these things that you've shown me, and I ask it sincerely in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, that their souls may be saved and preserved in this hour of temptation. Father God, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's the longest prayer that the Lord has had me pray in a long time. Amen.
Amen.
Especially on the radio. How many minutes did that take?
27.
27-minute prayer. But what a snootful, right?
Right.
Did you get something out of that prayer?
Yes.
Those instructions? All right. Well, let's see what we have here. Oh, there it is. Okay, this is myself, and I believe it's J.D. Sumner and the Stamps singing behind me. And if it's not, it's my brother Danny and a whole group that he had, C.C. Couch, who was with Columbia Records, and Janie Fricky, who is singing background with me, who happens to be a big star now, in this song called Swing Down, Sweet Chariot.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride? Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How many years you will? I got a home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride? Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How many years you will? I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How many years you will? I got a home on the other side.
Well, Ezekiel went down and he got on board. Chariot wasn't bumping on down in the road. Zeke wasn't particular about the bumping on the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride?
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How many years you will? I got a home on the other side.
Well, I got a father in the promised land. Ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How many years you will?
I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. How many years you will? I got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Calm and easy, well, I got a home on the other side.
On the other side, yeah. Oh, praise the Lord. We got to swing down, man, sweet chariot, in order to get into the kingdom of heaven, amen?
Amen.
I remember in the Navy that, you know, I was just paying attention to a lot of the things going on, and I wasn't paying that much attention to the Navy's Bible called the Blue Jackets Manual. And when I had that threat, you know, being dishonorably discharged, I focused on that Blue Jackets Manual like you can't believe. because I didn't want that to follow me throughout the rest of my life, that I was dishonorably discharged. I got an honorable discharge from the Navy. Praise the Lord. And nobody can, you know, in all the my enemies can check out if I was in the number one company 869 in the Navy. Let's see, I was like 16 years old, so I was born in 34, 44, 45. It was 1950, 51 that I was in there. Check that out. You'll see I was in the number one company in boot camp that was there for 70 years. No one surpassed us. You know, when you are a meatball company, you don't even wait for chow. Here's hundreds of companies standing out on the grinder. They call the grinder where you march. And they're standing out there for sometimes hours to wait to go to chow in the morning. And we marched right by them very silently, and all you could hear, we were the only ones that had dog tags. And you could hear us marking, ching, 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 ching. It sounded like just that ring of the, because we were so perfect in marching. And we had commendations from all kinds of admirals and everything. And everybody would be making real bad remarks about us when we'd marching by, but we wouldn't. One of the people got put out of Company 69 because they were so upset at somebody saying profanity at us that he got out of line. He took his rifle butt and smashed him in the mouth with it and going, went to 909 Baker to the nut company. But, you know, that was just, we remained perfect because we didn't want that. But how much more should we remain perfect in order to get into the kingdom of heaven? Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you know, you can't pay attention to anything. The world is filled full of beautiful women. The world is filled full of handsome men. The world is filled full of sexy women and sexy men. You know, if you want to call that sexy, once you get so high in the spirit, that doesn't seem sexy to you at all. All it means is death. When you look at something that could take your soul to hell. So you keep your eyes on the Lord, and that ends the whole problem. All the satanic the temptations go away. The Lord keeps you from the hour of temptation, and that's the hour you happen to be living in right now. This is Satan's last chance to get you. And if you don't follow the exact instructions from the kingdom of God, there's no possible way you can make it, because no human being is strong enough to look at the temptation in the world and make it. Okay? You'll be going down into that spiral where you see every filthy sex act, every filthy, all one booze, every kind, you know, entertainment, violence, and everything that you so loved while you were here. Whatever you love is what you're going to spend eternity with. But the only thing is there'll be some fire behind it. A lot of fire, a lot of torture. And people say, well, why? Why? If God is so good, why does he let us be perverts? Well, because God is not a perverted God. He made you a person. When he first created people, he didn't make them perverts. He made them just obedient people. And then when Satan came in one temptation, just to eat from one tree out of the garden where there were probably thousands, maybe millions of trees, she just had to go to that one because it was disobeying God. And so, you know, people just have their quirk. You know, Satan snags them one way or the other. And, you know, if you're going to get snagged, well, then the only thing that's left for you is the fearful waiting for the day of judgment, and then to be down in that spiral, and then to end up down to bottom. You'll be taken out of the bottomless pit, but you'll be put in a pit. It's a big lake where there's nothing but fire, torment, and beyond any explanation. Now, so, you know, not only that, there's a person that's been, Susie's daughter was really, had done us a lot of harm. She told a lot of lies about Sue and myself because she was jealous that Sue and I were married. And she was jealous of Sue in the first place because Sue was little and petite and absolutely beautiful. And she was heavy set. I'm being kind. Heavy set and not so attractive. At one time, she was attractive before she started eating whole cakes. Whole cake, not a piece of cake, but a whole cake. This is gluttony. And then she became morbidly obese, heavyset. And she just couldn't control herself. She just wouldn't discipline herself to not be a glutton. And she'd drink a whole half a gallon of milk with one cake. And so she was heavyset, and Sue was petite and pretty, and she naturally, when you get too heavy, you start looking like a bulldog in the face. And, you know, worse other places. And so you see some of these people today, you know, they just love somebody that's fat and out of shape and everything, but that isn't anything lovely and beautiful and nice. And but the point is that she got so jealous, and she said all kinds of fallacies about us, and the Lord today has got me praying for her. I mean, just like Susie said, why don't you just take her in your arms, Tony, and give her a hug and stuff like that? She would respond to that. I tried it. It was like trying to hug a ferocious pit bull that was hungry, you know, and wanted to bite my head off. And so it didn't work. But she says, Susie went on, and I loved Susie with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And she said, pray for her, will you? And I said, yeah, because it's her daughter, and it's a promise of the Lord that if you keep the commandments of the Lord, that the Lord will save your loved ones. And so God, for some reason today, just started pouring out, pray for little Susie, who's actually big Susie. Because, you know, all of us are little kids inside. We like to think of ourselves as grown up. But I'm still like a kid inside. You know, I like to I like to talk about nice things, and I get a lot of joy out of life, even under persecution and everything. I'm just that type of a person. I'm not, no bitterness in me, no hatred in me. And so I started praying, oh God, you know, for Susie's sake, save her soul, free for the sake of her, because she's going to wind up in hell. Susie's in heaven, and none of these, there's no memory of her at all. But it would sure be nice, Father. I know that you're anointing me to pray for her, and Lord, let her be saved in Jesus' name. Now, it very well could be that she's going out to meet God soon, just maybe in minutes or whatever. And that's why the Lord is pouring out the Spirit on me to pray for her. So everybody pray that Susie's daughter gets saved before she goes out to meet the Lord. Okay? All right, now we have some testimonials here tonight. Where's the first one from, Shell?
From Ibadan, Africa.
Ibadan? Okay.
Dear Evangelist, I bless God who inspired you to preach on Radio Africa. I am getting blessings with God's word through your message. God's message awakened me from deep sleep through your powerful message. I therefore pray and implore you to continue this program. Enclose my name on your mail list to receive literature from you. Remain blessed. Yours in Christ, B. Joseph.
Well, we certainly will remain blessed if we just keep our eyes on the Lord rather than anything in this world. There isn't anything that is in the world that is going to bless you. Now, there are things in the world that God will bless you with if you keep your eyes on Him and keep yourself free from sin. And God blesses you. There's things. There's good food. Amen?
Amen.
There's nice places to live. And there's more than that, you know, even if we have to live in a cave and we know that our lives are blessed by the Lord, that we're going to heaven. We're saved and we're going to heaven. That's the thing that encouraged me in prison. The Lord says, you're saved. Because I thought, why am I here? You know, I mean, why did you allow it? Not that if you allowed it to happen, that's fine, Lord, but did I do something wrong? And he just answered, I said, give me something to steady me. You know, I'm getting a little weary here after 3 years, 3.5 years in prison. He said, you're saved. And I says, praise the Lord. And I really rejoiced for about 4 or 5 minutes. I said, something else, Lord. And he said, you're going to heaven. And so I says, praise God. I don't care if I'm in prison. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, what good would it be for you to be in a palace or be the president of the United States or a king or the pope or anybody, and you don't have the Lord to tell you you're saved and you're on your way to heaven? Because I've seen a glimpse of heaven, and you know, there's no words to explain how beautiful it is, how serene, how full of happiness and joy. And I remember in Windom, Montana, when I was just a little boy, it was so beautiful to be young and little. I was about 5 years, 4 or 5 years old, and I didn't know about all the wickedness in the world or anything, and there was just not many people there, just around 3 or 4 farmhouses, and then my grandmother's house, and the school that I went to, and Duncan's grocery store, and like it was the part of the post office. It was the post office too. They had these post office boxes on the wall. You just bring your key in and go to your mailbox, and there was a candy counter there, which I loved dearly. And it was just sunshiny and beautiful, and in the wintertime it was like a wonderland. And my uncles were there, and my uncle built me an igloo, and my brother Danny. And it was so wonderful. And those were the best years of my life. And then I looked at heaven, and it's even better than that. I mean, it's just, in Windom, I could go up in the hills there, and I saw little bouquets of violets and wild strawberries. And you could see little baby skunks running with their mother, and all kinds of little wildlife and stuff like that. And it's just, I loved it, and I could see the train come through town. And, you know, that's nothing compared to the people today. They don't like it unless they see whorehouses. And it's, like, so corrupt. It's, like, nauseating to me. I'm so glad that I lived in that little town in my formative years without a lot of ungodly people around me. There was ungodly people, I believe, because they used to like to drink a lot, but I would never stay in the house. And so I was just around nature, and it was wonderful to me. And so it's so worth it to keep your eyes on the Lord. And that's the only peace you're going to receive in this world at all, is to, and you don't have to worry about the Lord, you know, lying to you, or favoring somebody above you, or anything like that, because the Lord is true blue. It's just wonderful to be in this world. Without the Lord in this world, it would be unbearable for most people. Even me, just before I got saved, I became so bitter at the people in the world because they were just, you know, to me, horrible, and I didn't know how you could straighten them out or get them saved or anything like that. All I wanted to do is just make plenty of money, and anybody gets in my way, just mow them down. Get out of my face. And the Lord came down and talked to me. That is mercy, because I certainly didn't deserve the Lord, and He just came and got me in this wicked town of Paul. Incidentally, I'm on the West Coast here, preaching the gospel. Wherever I go, I preach the gospel. But at any rate, do you have another testimony there?
Yes, from St. Peter's, Missouri.
Okay, St. Peter's, Missouri. That's where I was born, is in Chaplin, Missouri. Then what?
Dear Brother Alamo, we give thanks to our blessed Savior, Christ Jesus, and to you with all of our hearts for sharing your testimony, and most of all, the salvation message through our precious Savior Jesus Christ in the Post-Dispatch newspaper on Sunday. We can't express what is in our hearts in heartfelt gratitude to our blessed Savior, Deliverer, and Holy Redeemer, Christ Jesus, for your obedience to his promptings, the promptings of the precious, holy, and true Spirit of God. Quote, of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus, unquote, Acts chapter 13, verse 23. Thanks be to God with all of our hearts. To God be the glory. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. Psalms 115, verse 1. We believe God's merciful glory is coming down on St. Louis, and they are believing. Your article helped verify that. We live in St. Peter, Missouri, about 20 to 25 miles west of St. Louis City. Love and prayers for you and yours through Christ, our blessed Savior and Redeemer, David and Kathy.
All right. Praise the Lord. Do you have that? We're doing a couple minutes of Hitler here. All right. You know, because the Lord anointed me and told me, find out what Hitler said in his speeches. And I thought, why? That guy looked like a raving maniac. And I'm Jewish, and he killed 6 million of my people. And another thing, too, is they're supposed to be anti-homosexual, but they, most of them on the hierarchy, are homosexuals, including John Paul, too. And people got so angry at me when I told them that, but the Lord let me tell people that the church is a homosexual church as well as other satanic things. But the Lord told me to listen to his speeches and see what he has to say. When I did, I found out that, yes, he was an evil man in so much as that he killed the Jews and the homosexuals, which is so hypocritical. We love to preach the gospel to them that they'll be saved, but the Vatican hates them and wanted them killed, and black people as well. And they'll swear to God that they didn't, but their God is the devil. So when they're swearing to God, they're doing just what the devil wants them to do. Okay, but go ahead and read a little bit of Hitler.
Mr. Churchill had stated his view publicly.
About wanting to be in the UN and all that. And then what else?
Namely, that the present regime in Germany must be overthrown with the aid of forces within Germany, which would gladly cooperate.
Okay, but there was Hitler wanted to let them know that there's no force in Germany because they're united now that could possibly overthrow Germany because even though they were telling him that the Jews wanted to overthrow Germany, they didn't. They just wanted to live in peace. But go ahead.
If Mr. Churchill would but spend less of his time with traitors to their country maintained and paid abroad, and more of his time with Germans, then he would realize the utter madness and stupidity of his idle chatter.
Yeah, it's because Hitler was told by the Vatican that it was the Jews trying to overthrow, because Churchill was a one world or two. He was a member of the Antichrist body, along with FDR and all these other presidents since. They're all one-worlders. And that's all part of the Antichrist, the body of Antichrist. And so Hitler was saying, no, I've got them organized now. They know that our people, the Germans, know that the United Nations is Antichrist. But he didn't realize that the Pope was. And he thought that the Jews were the Antichrist. That's why he killed him. He thought he was doing God a favor. And the Bible said in the last days, people would kill you, my chosen people. Kill you Christians. Killed by chosen people, the Jews and the spiritual Jews that are the real Christians, the born-again Christians, thinking they're doing me a favor. So Hitler actually thought he was doing God a favor by killing the Jews. And he knew that homosexuality was wrong, so he was killing them. And the Vatican, when they found out, they said, well, see, we're not homosexuals because why would we kill them if we were homosexuals? They killed the street homosexual, but they kept being homosexuals in the church, in what they call the church. Then what?
I can only assure this gentleman, who would appear to be living in the moon, of one thing. There is no such force in Germany which could turn against the present regime.
Yeah, I mean, if the Jews are turning against our present regime, we'll burn them in the ovens. We burn them in the ovens! And we gas them with the cyanide. That's right, because they thought that they were the world government trying to take over the world, when in reality it was all the time the Vatican. It was the Vatican. And like the Lord said, Satan would become so cunning in these last days that he'd deceive the very elect. Well, this is where our country is today, folks, is that we need to pull out of the UN. immediately before we're hopelessly destroyed like Germany was until Hitler took over. Then when Hitler took over, he shut the United Nations out and they started prospering. And we will too if we shut them out. Okay, now we're going to read a little from the book of Ephesians. Okay, we have only 5 minutes.
I therefore the prisoner of the Lord.
Okay, this is the 4th chapter, verse 1.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the Apostle Paul talking. And go ahead.
I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you.
Now he's the prisoner of the Lord. That's what you'll be if you keep your eyes on him. Because you're going to be the prisoner of somebody, either the prisoner of the Lord or the prisoner of Satan. If you're looking at the world, then you're a prisoner of Satan. If you're looking at the Lord, then you're his prisoner. And there's a great consolation in being a prisoner of the Lord because he blesses you. Satan curses you. Okay? Then what?
Beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Verse 2, with
now,
all...
Now, worthiness is, worthy, you have to be without spot or blemish or you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you have to be worthy if you're going to enter the kingdom of God. Then what? All these words mean a great deal. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness.
Yeah, don't think of yourself that you're smarter by paying attention to the world and the things in it. Because all it's going to do is take yourself to hell. You're not smart to do that. You're stupid. You're deceived. Then what?
With long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
Love is the keeping of God's commandment. That is sex. Sex isn't love. If you love people, then you keep the commandments so they can see Christ emanating from you. If you're flirting with people or if you're lusting after a certain class of people. Some people are white and they just lust after black skin. And some people are black and they lust after white skin. That isn't, what has skin got to do with it? What is this false version of love got to do with it? Amen?
Amen.
That isn't love. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. And, we didn't get very far, did we? The prayer took 27 minutes. My time is up. And so those of you that want to be born again of the Spirit, don't hesitate to get your eyes off the world and onto the Lord. You're miserable, and so many people are committing suicide today because your eyes are not on the Lord, they're on the world. And you can see that there's nothing in the world. You go see movies, and one movie is worse than the next. They build it up through promo, through propaganda. They blow up different things. You go to SeaWorld, and so you see fish. You go to the big theater, and there's nothing there. So it leaves you cold. And everything in this world you look at, some people, they love the looks of some different people. They go to bed with them, and maybe they don't satisfy them. And so they're stuck again, and they wish they'd be back on the other side of the fence where the grass was greener. It only looked greener on the other side. My. Okay, but so those of you that want to get saved, say this prayer. If you want to become born again of the Spirit, which you must be if you're going to enter heaven, say this prayer to the Lord and mean it. You don't believe there's a Lord? You'll find out that there is. You're going to face him whether you want to or not. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. Unless you're driving, don't raise your hands up. And just park or something and praise the Lord. And even if you can't park, just praise and thank the Lord. Praise him and thank him forever. And now, Sharon, and keep reading your word and keep tuning in because we have great, powerful messages right from the Lord every day. Sharon, tell them 4 different ways that they receive a copy of program number 308. Make sure that you mention the program number. so that we can easily get to the program that it is that you want. And also specify whether you want a audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free of charge. You don't have to pay anything for it, and we pay for the shipping and handling. Okay, go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
You know, Christians have a lot of fun, you know, but we don't have fun with the things of the world. Once you get saved, the Bible says, those that continue on to the end shall be saved. Only those that continue on to the end. So I did a song here with C.C. Couch and Jeannie Fricke and other people that are superstars today were backing me up on this. It's called Onward Christian Soldiers. Keep moving on unto the end, and then you'll be saved.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to one. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Life of my army, move the church on.